Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, we're glad you did that. Welcome aboard. You've been listening already? We consider that a sign of high intelligence, as you know. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out. We've been having a record month in January on all of our sites, including the flagship smallbusinessadvocate.com. So use that to your advantage. Lots of stuff there, the show, all the archives, the Brain Trust members, thousands of articles. You can subscribe to my free newsletter, which I hope you will do. It comes every Sunday afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. Lots of good stuff in there. Got our new look that we started up with last year. Get a lot of compliments on that. And then, of course, we have our knowledge base, askjim.biz. So use that to your advantage. We're having a record month with that site, too, this month. So check it out. Use it to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. David Dossey is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. David is with Gallagher and Dossey, the law firm in the great state of Ohio. He's an intellectual property attorney. Once upon a time, we called him patent attorneys, and he is my intellectual property attorney. He's the guy who helps me with my intellectual property. See, I don't just preach in the fact that small business owners need to create and develop and leverage and protect their and defend their intellectual property. I actually practice what I preach, and David helps me with that. David, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you. It's always a pleasure, and it's great to have you as a client. You probably generate more intellectual property every day than most people do all year.
Well, it's good to have you to work with you too, and of course, folks, now you know I pay my bill, right? So, this intellectual property thing, David, I really do believe that, you know, as you say, I'm a little bit of a unique small business because that's what I do. My product is intellectual property. I mean, the thing I'm doing right now is creating a new piece of intellectual property, which we will copyright, and we'll clip it out, and we'll leverage it and defend it and protect it. But small business owners who don't do what I do, they deliver, you know, they're electrical contractors or suppliers or manufacturers or whatever. You know, maybe they don't create things as obviously intellectual property as I do, but they still do it. They still do it, maybe on a smaller scale or on a lesser scale, but they still create things that need to be protected. And folks, the thing about it is, if you have a good idea, if you have something of value, if you don't protect it and use it properly, somebody else might. And David, you've sent me some information on how other people are stealing other people's intellectual property, counterfeiting, and other types of theft.
Right. Small business owners often don't appreciate how much counterfeiting and piracy costs the U.S. economy. And some of the statistics just blow you away that you often forget that 97% of the exports from the U.S. are associated with small businesses.
Yes.
And counterfeit is obviously a product that imitates a name brand product and intends to deceive you, versus piracy is you think of pirated music or mm-hmm. pirated software. They're just illegal copies, and mm-hmm. either one of them can hurt you, often just in different ways, because counterfeit products are often inferior products. And it's one thing when it's a counterfeit purse, but when it's a counterfeit transformer for your laptop,
right?
You know, guess what? You don't want to leave that plugged in all night,
because it'll burn up.
Right, and if it has a counterfeit UL sticker on it, well, you know, guess what? The outside may look just as good as a real one, but the insides could be drastically deficient.
Give us an example of some of the things that you've been identified to you as some of the classic counterfeiting and piracy.
Well, counterfeiting, the classic ones are that most people would not recognize is close to 10% of electrical goods coming into the country have some form of counterfeit nature to them, which is very scary, especially things
if
like...
If not the whole product, some component of it.
Right. Batteries for cell phones, extension cords, transformers.
You know, it's one of the things that I get concerned about if I buy things online.
Right.
You know, and I go and I find a link that's got something that I want. If I don't know the company, it concerns me that it might be counterfeit.
Well, and very often you'll see the main news lines doing stories on counterfeits on eBay.
Right, right. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Yeah, eBay's got a lot of that kind of stuff going on over there. 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. We've got more to come with our good friend David Dossie right after these messages. Stay with us.
When I call you on the phone, I get a strong, uneasy feeling. You're not sitting there alone.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend David Dossie. With Gallagher and Dossie, he's an intellectual property attorney, or as we used to call him, patent attorneys. He does much more than patents. But you do patents now, though, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Patents and trademarks and registrations, that kind of thing?
Absolutely.
All kinds of stuff. Give us that website, please.
It's invention-protection.com.
All right, so check that out, folks, invention-protection.com. All right, we're talking about counterfeiting and piracy. You know, one of the classic examples of this that just blew me away when I heard this story, David, was one of the major golf companies thought they were being ripped off. They thought they were being knocked off by somebody in China, and so they got some products in that they thought was a counterfeit, but they couldn't tell. It was so good. They couldn't tell if it was a knockoff or not until they cut it in half and looked inside.
Oh, yeah, that's golf industry.
The manufacturers couldn't even tell it was a counterfeit until by just looking at it.
And you hear stories of that workers in those factories will steal the molds for certain golf club heads and can make a fortune doing it.
Yeah.
But I'd say the one that hits small businesses the most is software piracy because, a lot of small businesses think, well, who am I hurting? I don't want to go buy a $400 version of Adobe. You know, I've got a copy at home. Let me just bring it in and put it on the office. Mm-hmm. And if you have an employee that does something like that, it's opening you up to such liability that no employees worth that just for
explain that because I think a lot of people don't understand what you're talking about right now. Go ahead, mm-hmm. Explain that.
Well, when
explain when about the license.
Uh-huh. Right. When you get software, you're not buying software. You know, if you actually read all the data that pops up on the screen when you load it, it's a mm-hmm. license to use the software. And as soon as you install it, and more than you have authorization to install it on, the number of computers or network, what have you, it is a copyright infringement. And
so if you spend $300 to license a piece of software, and you load it on your computer, and then you take that CD and you load it on another computer, you have basically ripped off the manufacturer because what you paid for was the license to use it on one station.
Right. And as technology advances, you know, obviously all the software companies are getting very sophisticated about protecting that. But one of the best ways and what opens small businesses up to liability is the real expensive software packages like AutoCAD and things like that. The manufacturers have places where you can go report piracy. So if you have a disgruntled employee that knows you have two illegal copies, all they do is log in anonymously and, essentially rat you out. And those companies don't kid around. You know, this is their bread and butter.
Right. Yeah, for them, it'd be just like saying, I'm going to buy I want to buy this from you, and you walk, go to a store and you buy it from them, and then you come back the next day, and instead of buying another load of what you just bought, you just steal it.
Right. Yeah, that's how they look at it, is you just walked in their office, grabbed a box, and walked out with it.
Yeah. But you know what, David? I'm going to blame the software companies for this kind of a situation, because you and I both know that we were all licensing software for years before anybody ever really made any kind of significant, tried to do any kind of consumer awareness about what was going on.
Sure.
I mean, they should have had a major 15 years ago. And every day since then, they should have had a major education program going on explaining what people were doing, like you and I are talking about right now.
Well, when you think of it, that the stats show that copyright piracy in China alone is costing the U.S. $3 to $4 billion a year. You know, that is a huge amount of money that people need to take it seriously.
That's the biggest threat we have from China, I think. Not their weapons, not their army, you know. The biggest threat we have from China is them ripping us off.
And, you know, it's one thing when you're talking about software, but when you are looking at counterfeit medicine and things that really can put lives in danger, it's scary.
Well, yeah, you were sending me something the other day that said there may have been 11,000 boxes of Procrit, a cancer drug. In fact, hasn't there been something in the news about that where they used... when people actually died from not getting the right medicine?
Right. How would you like if one of your relatives was, you know, had cancer and was, lo and behold, taking a counterfeit cancer drug?
Right. One of the things that you mentioned a minute ago that I want to segue into just a little bit, and that is helping our employees to understand this whole world, doing our own education with our employees about not only the whole concept of protecting the assets, protecting what other people own and what we own. That's an important thing that we need to be training our employees about, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned like a small electrical distribution company earlier that might not think they have intellectual property. But if you've got one salesman coming and bringing in pirated software and loading it on his own computer, you may think there's no harm in that. It allows them to manage their contacts better. But it's exposing your business to tremendous risk.
But when we come back after these messages, I want to talk about how that same person could be exposing you or could be ripping you off, possibly, and you wouldn't even know it. So we'll talk about that right after these messages. It's 10 Till. David Dossie is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Every day the answer seems more distant.
We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with David Dossie, and we're talking about intellectual property. And up to now, David, we've been talking about other people's intellectual property. Now let's talk about our intellectual property. We were talking earlier about making sure your employees understand that the concept of intellectual property and the concept of ownership of that intellectual property and how, you know, we don't steal things in our businesses, and so you can steal intellectual property maybe without realizing it, but let's don't be ignorant about that. But now let's talk about what we need to tell our employees and what we need to do to protect our own intellectual property from our employees letting it get away or actually taking it with them. How do we do that?
Right. Well, it's as simple as setting up some policies. And, our law firm's a small business like all the listeners, and it's not hard to do. Frankly, we have a professional employer organization like your advertiser administaff.
Right.
And they set all this stuff up for you, and they even go over it with new hires. So right from the start, when you're interviewing a person, you want to let them know, you know, find out, number one, if they're under any continuing obligations from, let's say, prior employment agreements, and let them know you don't want them bringing anything in, maybe from their current employer or prior employers to your office. You know, don't bring any information in from my competitor into this facility, because I don't want to get in a lawsuit with our competitors.
Right.
And just having a good policy book and making sure that someone goes through it with them and that they sign a piece of paper acknowledging that they're familiar with the provisions, you know, goes a long way to at least making that person aware that you take this seriously.
Well, and letting them know what you consider to be to belong to you and what you consider to be to belong to other people.
Right.
And making sure that if you develop a system or some other kind of intellectual property to operate your business in, maybe it's a customer management system or a delivery route system or whatever it might be, if you create something like that in your business that works for you, your employees need to understand that that is an asset that you own, your business owns, and it belongs to your business, and it doesn't, they have no right to migrate that out of the business.
Right. And just setting up internal procedures where not everyone has access to that particular piece of software or this particular database, and then those that do have it are all people that have employment agreements and, you know, have signed that they recognize that certain things are trade secrets owned by the company that they aren't allowed to take or take home with them or put on their personal computers and things like that.
Right. And that there's certain things that we don't talk about out in the public domain. We don't go running our mouth about what we're working on or how we do certain things.
Exactly.
I mean, it's okay if the value of this thing that we've created, if this thing we created has added value to customers, we can tell our customers, you know, our delivery system is the best in the world, and because we can do these things, you know, two or three things, you know, that's okay, that's a good selling point. But you don't tell everybody how the thing works, all the details of how it works, the things that are proprietary for the company.
And one important thing for small businesses to recognize is, okay, you may have had this employee for 10 years and they've never had an employment agreement, and moving forward you're getting them on new employees. But in most states, continued employment is enough consideration to warrant the enactment of an employment agreement.
Right.
So if someone's up for a promotion and now they're going to have access to all this information, don't hesitate to make them sign an employment agreement at that time, if for no other reason to recognize this value in the intellectual property.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and so, you know, as you know, David, I've been encouraging small business owners to just to think about what they're doing, what they're creating. When you have a new idea, when you don't be naive about the intellectual property that you're creating every day, certainly every year. And it's important, you know, one thing, Dave, I recommend people do is when you create something new, give it a name. That's one way for something to have to rise to a certain level of importance. Give it a name, like, you know, name that delivery route system. Give it a name and use it that way.
Absolutely. You know, when people refer to your internal management system as SureTrack or something like that, then it's a tangible product.
Yeah. Training, folks, very important that you train your people in your intellectual property regime. Hey, thanks, David, for being here. Good job today, as always.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
See you later. David Dossie, ladies and gentlemen. Gotta go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.